Gomer, Joe Gardner's Bay. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the east end of the South Fork of Long Island, New York. Today is the 11th of August, 2016. On this date, in 2492 BC, Hike defeats King Bel at the Battle of Giants near Lake Van. Hike is the mythical founder of the Armenian nation. 1914, France declares war on Austria-Hungary. 1919, Germany adopts the Constitution of the Weimar Republic. 1920, Latvia becomes independent from the Soviet Union. 1942, from the can't-read-a-book-by-its-cover file, actress Hedy Lamarr receives a patent for frequency-hopping spread-spectrum communication systems that later becomes the basis for a missile guidance system during the war, and Wi-Fi, among other things. 2003, NATO takes command of the UN-mandated International Security Assistance Force in Afghanistan. It's NATO's first major mission outside of Europe. Birthdays are Alex Haley, Pervez Musharraf, Steve Wozniak, and Hulk Hogan. San Franciscan Robin Williams died 2 years ago today. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. This podcast was written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swieka. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tabeelpod.com or send us an email at tabeelpod@gmail.com. President Mark Velashvili rejected the proposed referendum to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Thank God. The proposal would de facto ban same-sex marriage, although it is already de facto and de jure banned. Mark Velashvili said that marriage is already defined that way by Georgia's civil code, so there's no reason to hold a referendum on it. He also said that a vote should be held on Georgia's entire territory, because 20% of it is occupied by Russia. Holding the referendum would indirectly validate the occupation. Referendum sponsors are Alexandre Bregadze, former deputy minister of diaspora, and Aslan Abashidze, button polisher, Soso Manjavidze, former member of Alliance of Patriots parties, Viad Tomaradze, director of the Demographic Society 21. Their question is, quote, do you agree or disagree that marriage should be defined as a union of a man or a woman for the purpose of creating a family, end quote. The proposed question was approved by the Central Elections Commission, and they got the required 2,000 signatures from members of the public, so the president's approval would have been the last step for making it a reality on the 8th of October. Wonder where they got the money to get those 200,000 signatures, since that cost quite a bit. Referendum sponsors are angry that the president rejected, and they're hitting back. They plan to stage a protest as soon as President Mark Velashvili issues his formal rejection. They're calling on him to resign. In a related note, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that he supported the referendum. More importantly, he said that if Otsneva wins a majority in the October parliamentary elections, the party will amend the constitution to ban same-sex marriage. And even though the president rejected the referendum bid, he said that he agrees with the prime minister that the bill should be considered by parliament. Nobody in Otsneva, least of all Kvitikashvili, really wants to deal with this. This is an effort sponsored by the Kremlin, as they're doing all over the world, to use homophobia as a way to try to coerce ruling and opposition parties into a more anti-Western stance. By hitting at the rights of everybody, but particularly gay people. There's absolutely no reason why this needs to happen. There have been no same-sex marriages in Georgia, and there is not going to be. It is a purely divisive effort, and good on Mark Velashvili for vetoing it. Following up on the Constitutional Court controversy, the prosecutor's office interviewed court chairman Georgi Papuashvili, who last month claimed that some members of the court are being pressured by the ruling party to make rulings in favor of the government. The prosecutor's office has not made a reply, not made any comment on what was said during the interview, but they said they'll release a statement later. 7th of August marks the 8th anniversary of the start of the August War. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs released a statement on its commitment to peacefully resolving the conflicts in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. South Ossetia temporarily sealed the administrative boundary line from the 6th to the 9th of August. I don't know whether that means they're not going to abduct shepherds for small income-generating activities, as they usually do. They do this every year. They allegedly do it to ensure security during commemorations of the August War. Yeah, whatever. Beslan Bartsis is the new Abkhaz prime minister. He was appointed by President Raul Khadjimba on the 5th of August. His predecessor, Artur Mikvabia, resigned in July after anti-government protests and a motion of no confidence against him in the Abkhaz parliament. Central Elections Commission announced that 3.45 million Georgians are eligible to vote in the parliamentary election. The largest electoral district is Gurjani and Kakheti, with 53,480 eligible voters. Commission released a statement on the rules for participation in the parliamentary elections and the punishments for breaking those rules. Parties or candidates that are supported by non-Georgian citizens will be fined. This is important because Misha has recently given two video addresses to the communities in Batumi and Zugdidi, where he urged them to vote for the national movement. The Georgian Lawyers, Young Lawyers Association, or GILA, asked the commission to fine the national movement. The commission is not going to fine them, though, because Misha wasn't physically in Georgia as he gave the address. State Audit Office is investigating whether Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and the chairman of Ajada's regional government broke the law by giving presents to a newly married couple. Georgia's has strict laws on the government officials handing out gifts during pre-election periods. President Margvelashvili told the media that Georgia has a problem with defense ministers. Four ministers in 4 years is too many. He's optimistic about the new defense minister, Levan Izoria. The president also launched a campaign to encourage people to vote in the parliamentary elections. It's funded by the Presidential Discretional Fund, and it allocates money to train high school seniors around Georgia to travel around and encourage people to vote. They should not tell people who to vote for, but should rather encourage them to do their civic duty to participate in the elections. Political parties New Political Center, Girchi, or Pinecone, and New Georgia and the New Rights Party are forming an electoral block of tiny parties for the parliamentary election. Girchi and New Georgia are made up of former national movement types, while the New Rights Party launched in 2001 used to be allied with the Republicans. The bloc's platform is about personal liberty, economic freedom, and Western choice. Otsneba announced the majoritarian candidates for the three electoral districts in Samska Javakheti. They are Gedevan Popkhadze, Georgi Kopadze, and Enzel Mkoyan. Kopadze is the mayor of Ahaltsikhe. They also announced their candidate for the single district that covers most of Kvemosvaneti, Gocha Enukidze. So far, the party still needs to announce its candidates for her districts in Tbilisi, Ajada, and Racha Lechkhumi. Related news, a marshutka bringing Otsneba supporters to Lentechi for the announcement of Enukidze hit a group of pedestrians. Three were hurt, but there were no serious injuries. Former Defense Minister Irakli Alassani, who's a member of the Free Democrats Party, will run as a majoritarian MP and MP candidate in Gori. He announced his candidacy after Tamaz Shioshvili, the current Free Democrat MP for Gori, decided not to run. New Defense Minister Levan Izoria is considering bringing back compulsory military service. The ministry did away with the conscription back in June on the order of then-Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli. Because a decision was made by her and not Parliament, it is not binding on the new Defense Minister. General Vakhtang Kapanadze, who's head of Georgia's military joint staff, agrees with Khidasheli and is lobbying the ministry not to bring back conscription. Political party Socialist Georgia canceled its founding Congress last week after one of its members was arrested for slapping a protester in Tel Aviv. The party wants closer relations with Russia and wants to create a socialist economy in Georgia. They are registered to participate in the parliamentary elections. Tbilisi offices of the political party, the National Forum, were broken into and robbed on the 9th of August. Some computers were stolen, but the party's leaders don't think the crime was politically motivated. The National Forum quit the Otsneba coalition in April. The OSCE praised Georgia for the improvement it's made to media freedom. They said that Georgia now has a diverse, active, and pluralistic media environment. Former MP Nodar Modebadze was shot dead in the village of Akuda in Kakheti. The Interior Ministry is treating the case as premeditated murder. Local journalists reported that Modebadze had been feuding with a local shepherd whose cattle strayed into his property several times. It isn't known for sure whether it's related to murder, however. David Borchashvili, a man from the Pankizi Gorge, was sentenced to 12 years in prison for fighting with Daesh in Syria. He was found guilty of being a member of the terrorist organization participating in terrorist activities. He was arrested in November of last year. Part of Borjomi National Park was destroyed by heavy rainfall late last week. The area had to be evacuated and a large amount of infrastructure was damaged. The bodies of four tourists, one Russian, one Estonian, and two Israelis, were found on Mount Ushba in Svaneti. They fell off of a cliff. A woman was found buried in a cavity in her home in Shakriani. She has been missing for 2 days. The authorities are investigating it as a case of premeditated murder. A family feud in Nardevani in the Kvemokartli region caused one death. There was a disagreement between two families, both of which were involved in local politics. The head of one of the families, Samson Tamarian, rammed his car into a member of the other family, Haik Meltonian. Tamarian's son then shot and killed the nephew of Meltonian. The Ministry of Internal Affairs is treating the case as premeditated murder. Corporal in the Georgian Army named David Lomidze died of heart failure on Wednesday. The military police think it may be a case of murder by negligence, which is punishable by up to 4 years in prison. Lomidze started feeling ill on Tuesday, but was not taken to the hospital until Wednesday morning. He died on the way. Zura Tabukashvili, the chairman of the company Tabukashvili 88, was arrested for embezzling a large amount of real estate from his business partners. The company formed a partnership with Centerpoint Group, and Tabukashvili used his powers under the partnership agreement to transfer properties into his own ownership at the expense of his partners. He embezzled property worth more than $1 million and could spend up to 11 years in prison. On the 10th of August, the finance ministry sold 45 million lari worth of one-year bonds. The bonds have an average yield of 6.6%. The wine company Madloba is exporting 300,000 bottles of wine to China. The wine will be carried by 8 different wine houses. China is now the third largest importer of Georgian wines after Russia and Ukraine. The leaders of Georgia's brewing industry are angry that the excise tax on beer hasn't been lowered. Nikolos Kunzakishvili, the corporate director of Nathakhtari, said his company and other brewers received promises that the government would slash the excise tax, which was increased from 40 to 60 tetri per liter of beer in 2015. Nothing has been done so far to reduce the tax, and brewers say it's hurting their business. Bakudiani and surrounding areas are getting a makeover. The government is putting about 100 million lari into building a four-season mountain resort there. The area will get new ski lifts built by the Austrian firm Doppelmayr, as well as hotels, apartments, and restaurants. Should be finished by the end of this year. New ropeway will open at Turtle Lake in September. Tbilisi City Hall is paying a company called Bagir Msheni over 1 million lari to build it. The ropeway will be able to transport about 2,000 people per day and will be wheelchair-friendly. I don't really know what a wheelchair-friendly ropeway is. Anybody knows, let me know. An adventure tourism school is opening in Gudauri, where students can study to be hiking and mountain guides, ski instructors, avalanche prevention workers, and security specialists. Current tourism workers can also go there to be retrained. The government is building a new airfield in Umbralauri in Racha, which should be up and running by the end of this year. It will accommodate small and medium-sized airplanes, is intended to bring more tourists to the region. Visitor Center at Kolkheti National Park in western Georgia got a new exhibition hall. Visitors are walked through the park's biodiversity and history sections. The film House of Others, directed by Rusudan Glurjidze, will be submitted to the 2017 Academy Awards in Hollywood. It's being submitted for Best Foreign Language Film category. We'll go through strict judging processes to decide whether it gets nominated for the actual award. Parliament's on recess till September. The meme this week is a video of judoka Lasha Shavdatuashvili defeating the Russian judoka Denis Yartsev in an opening days of the Olympics, which just happened to be the 8th of August, the anniversary of the August War. Shavdatuashvili won the bronze, Georgia's first medal at the Rio Games. He won gold at the 2012 Games in London. Stuff to read. Chaihana shows us St. Nino's Monastery in Samska Javakheti. The piece is part of a series on startups and innovative small businesses in the South Caucasus. The nuns at St. Nino's specialize in making cheese. They make 16 different kinds, including an aged blue cheese. They also make honey chocolate and enamel works. Social Science in the Caucasus takes a look at shrinking public support for democracy. In 2015, only 15% of respondents felt that Georgian politics were going in the right direction. It was 35% in 2013. Also, more and more people think they are being treated unfairly by the government. Euromaidan Press has a piece on the roots of the 2008 war. There's still disagreement about whether Russia has begun its had begun its invasion of South Ossetia by the time Georgian troops attacked Khinvali on the night of August 7th, 2008. Tom Duvall, for example, maintains that Russia didn't invade until the next morning. But as this article points out, Russia had been secretly moving soldiers across the border since August 2nd, violating their peacekeeping mandate in the first place. In my own personal view, there were out-of-form Spetsnaz in South Ossetia well before the war, and probably even in July. The Center for European Policy Analysis looks at the aftermath of the with regard to the August War. I don't believe that means that Georgia should have fought back, but they were making a lot of noise about that and wanted to talk to the Popov, who was head of the peacekeepers at the time. And then Popov said cynically, "I got a flat tire on the way to the meeting." Yakubashvili was the one he was meeting with. And there were not discussions. Georgians wanted to discuss what was going on in South Ossetia, and the Russians refused to. And then on August 8th, the bait was taken. Anyway, Center for European Policy Analysis looks at the aftermath of the August War. They call Russia's strategy in Georgia and Ukraine a grab, stab, and hold. Russia starts by grabbing territory, then negotiates a peace settlement from a position of strength and uses its position to gradually redefine the borders. We've all seen that before. Lincoln Mitchell writes in Slate about Donald Trump's presidential campaign and how it's damaging American foreign policy and American allies. In his view, Trump's bromance with Putin provides ammunition for uncritical anti-Russian voices in America, so that people calling for a less confrontational relationship with Russia will be associated with Trump and dismissed as Kremlin stooges. On a more basic level, Trump's is turning ignorance into a virtue, so that American political discourse is being dumbed down in general. BBC has an interview with Guka Tavberidze, the Georgian-born founder of the UK-based company Sabze. The company launched in 2013 and has made about $13 million over the past year selling healthy fruit smoothies based on recipes by Tavberidze's mother. In Georgian language, Sabze means full of goodness. European Fund for Southeast Europe publishes a study it did on financial literacy in partnership with the National Bank of Georgia. The study found that members of the public have an intermediate understanding of finance. They have a decent grasp of concepts like interest, risk, reward, and inflation. However, Georgians have low awareness of financial products, and most have only short-term financial goals. The Institute of War and Peace reporting has a good recap of recent popular unrest in Yerevan, which is now being called the July Crisis. Protests were inspired by an armed group takeover of a police station. They show that a lot of the people are angry with authorities, and because the public feels like there are no political mechanisms for influencing government, they take to the streets. BuzzFeed picked up a story about the Vake Swimming and Fitness Club, which instructed women not to use the pool while they are menstruating. Some of the club's members are very upset about what they consider a misogynistic policy. The club responded that it's a hygiene issue. They found tampons in the pool in the past. Oh no. Paul Rimple writes in Culinary Backstreets about Kahelebi, a restaurant on the Kacheti Highway that specializes in roast goat. They focus on being flavorful rather than being filling and serve fresh baked pita bread instead of Tony's Puri. Damir Marusik discusses the American interest, the failed assassination attempt of Igor Plotnitsky, head of the Russian-backed Luhansk People's Republic in eastern Ukraine. It's not certain who was behind the attempt, but Ukraine puts its forces on high alert in case Russia is planning a new major attack. Marusik thinks that it's unlikely that Russia would risk a big operation now, as they prefer to gradually tighten the screws on Kiev. Also, he thinks it more likely that Moscow was behind the assassination attempt than Kiev. NATO releases a video called Georgia's Unresolved Conflict, which explains the 2008 war and its aftermath, especially the difficulties faced by IDPs. It provides an especially good description for people who don't know much about the war. All this stuff posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 7, the number of medals that Georgia won at the 2012 Summer Olympics in London. That's an all-time record for the country. As of Thursday, Georgia has won just 2, in Rio, a bronze by judoist Lasha Shavdatuashvili, and a silver by judoist Varlam Lipartelliani. U.S. Embassy issued a warning about sexual assaults. There have been several recent cases of sexual assault in Tbilisi, including verbal harassment and intimidation, unwanted touching, and rape. The embassy advises U.S. citizens, but this is helpful for everyone, to travel at night in groups, use registered taxis, and keep your mobile phone ready at all times. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com. Post the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from a Bay Area band, 2004, this is Green Day and American Idiot.